Welcome to our podcast, Let's Talk Dirty. I'm Frank Bailey, founder and executive director of Grow Orlando, where we're cultivating community through urban micro farming. Today, we're here with the marketing manager, Will Rogers, on the tracks, and Commissioner Mark Machel from the Winter Garden City Hall. Thanks for joining us, Mark. It's a pleasure to have you here.
Thanks, guys. Really a real pleasure to be here.
So tell us, who is Mark Machel? Who's the essence of this commissioner leading the charge?
Well, you might get two answers, whether you ask me or you ask my wife. I'll try to answer that the best I can. First, let me commend you on the name of the show. You know, I wasn't aware of the name of the show before I came on, but I do like the title. That is definitely catchy. So, well done.
That's what we're going for.
Yeah, we're getting down into the dirt, you know. That's where the good stuff is.
That's what it's all about. So, you know, I'm mostly a family man. I mean, I really, when I look back at everything, Frank and Will, I mean, I really look back, everything that sort of leads back to, you know, who I am as a father and a husband. I've tried to live my life that way. I've not always hit the mark, but I'd like to start there. And I think that's what everything stems from, you know. So all the things that I've done in the military, and you know, I spent 32 years in the military. A lot of that was in the reserves, and so I was able to do some entrepreneurial things along the way. But a lot of it does come back to service to my family, my country, you know, and myself, you know, in a lot of ways also. But being an entrepreneur was a big part of that as well. So I loved starting businesses. I love cultivating businesses. And I see that as a key part in what we're doing in East Winter Garden as well when it comes to transforming communities, because I do think entrepreneurs have a lot to do with that. So I'd like to think it's a life of service.
Okay, that's great. Speaking of service, thank you for your service in the military.
Yeah, for sure.
We appreciate you for sure.
I'm saluting right now.
He is. He really is.
I appreciate that. Thank you.
So your time as a commissioner, when you're done, when that day finally comes, and you're like, you know what, I've done my service, and you know the community is a better place because of the work that I've done. What will that look like? What do you want your legacy, for lack of a better term? What do you want that to look like?
Well, you know, it changes every day, guys. I mean, when I get on there, you have this kind of pie-in-the-sky view of what you'd like to get accomplished. You know, when people had first asked me to run for the position, I had these thoughts. You know, I've always had East Winter Garden kind of on my mind, you know, the 20 years that I've been in the Orlando area. And you get into the job, and then you start to realize that there are some things that are going to work, some things that aren't going to work, some things you're going to have to kind of get through the back door to make sure that you can, you know, sort of influence the job getting done. But in the end, I think what I really have realized, one of my primary roles has been to unify the different messages that are out there. You know, and we all see it. We see it in politics today. We see that. You know, that everything just seems to be so divisive, and there's no middle ground. I'm a middle ground kind of guy. I've always have been. Even, you know, in business, you have to realize that there's always a gray area. There's always, you know, I've always said, even in law enforcement, I always said there's three sides to every story. There's their side, there's your side, and then there's the truth. And not that people do that on purpose, but that's just the nature of what happens. So, I see that in this society we are too fragmented. And I even see it in my little corner of the world in East Winter Garden. So if I could, you know, unify things and get people to talk and, you know, share their ideas, that's really what I'd like that legacy to be, that we created some unification. Now, how do you do that? You know, there's a lot of things you can, you know, little subsets to that, to doing that. But I think a lot of it just includes open and honest discussions. And I think information is the key. So if I can unify people by putting out a stakeholder's email or a PowerPoint presentation to show what the city is doing, you know, show other sides of the story if somebody is disagreeing with what we're doing, or listening to another side of the story as well. You know, that's a big part of it, is listening to the things that maybe I haven't thought of and including it in the overall solution. So I go back to that, you know, to that thing being a unifier. And another part of that, and I'd like to throw this in there as well, is that I think it's my job, and hopefully my legacy will be cultivating the next generation of leaders.
We like cultivating.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. There you go.
You do it all day.
It's very similar, whether you're doing it with the dirt or you're doing it with people. It really is about cultivating and planning, you know, planning for the future. You're absolutely right. Yeah. But I listen to guys like you. You know, you guys are really making it happen. You're doing it. And Frank, I see it in you every day, you know, in you know, future leaders. And I hope to do that, and even more so, and I'm going to say this. I would like to see more diversity in our government as well. I'd like to make sure that there are people that are representing the neighborhoods and the neighborhoods that need representation, and there are people of color and diversity on our boards and in our government as well.
You trying to call me to arms here, Mark? What's going on?
was that a long-winded answer to a very simple question?
No, man.
It's a great answer, and I think knowledge is power, and I think that's great. Getting information out there, it allows you the opportunity to get buy-in, and also get perspectives that maybe you wouldn't have gotten on your own. And I really think that's how you create change.
Right.
And speaking of creating change, let's talk about that for a minute. In your eyes, from where you stand, what is community transformation? What is that change? What does that look like?
I think it's one of those short answers, but a lot of subsets to that answer. Simply put, I really think it comes down to improving quality of life of residents. And for me, it's District 3. District 3 includes many different neighborhoods, and one of them happens to be East Winter Garden. And the transformation has to help local residents. And I focus on the word local, because you need to do it without gentrification. Everybody knows what's happening in Winter Garden, and Winter Garden is booming, and they've done a great job with downtown. Everybody, believe me, as a developer, I know what other developers are thinking, and prime real estate is prime real estate. But you can't do that without keeping the culture. You've got to improve the area without gentrification. It's extremely difficult.
I'm going to push back a little bit there. I mean, I'm from neighborhoods like this, and I would say that gentrification is an objective term. It's not good or bad. It has been used in a negative light because it's been a rolling tide of developers and investors, like you say, coming in and kind of imposing their new culture or society that they're trying to create. But what you're talking about doing is the community transformation with the residents is, to me, I call it intrinsic gentrification, because you're still making it better than it was. That's all gentrification is, making a place better and more appealing and safer and more fun and with better activities. That's all gentrification. Who you do it with lets you know whether or not it's an intrinsic process, right? Is it something that's happening with the maintenance and the structure of the culture that's already there?
So is it to and for the community residents, or are you pushing out those residents to make room for new ones?
Both of those things are gentrification,
That's right. That's right.
And I think having a gentrification wave happen where the residents are riding it instead of being crushed by it is, one, it's commendable, but it is a task. It is a task and a half. So,
Very right, Frank. Very, very right. There is no question, a fine line when you talk about gentrification. Because let's face it, even improving, even if we meet our goals and we keep the culture and we don't push out the long term residents, there's gonna be some increase in values. There's gonna be something, and there may be some people that don't come along for the ride. And that is, you're absolutely right. It's walking that tightrope to make sure that it's not so drastic that, next thing you got a bunch of hipsters living there, and probably values have tripled. Not that there's anything wrong with hipsters moving.
That's a different podcast.
So how do you have, if you are a resident in East Winter Garden, how can we as residents cultivate awareness and proactiveness,
Absolutely. If I could, let me back up a second, go back to this transformation, because I do want to just hit on this it leads to right into the next question you're asking, but I'd like to talk a little bit more about that transformation thing and how to avoid that. And do we have time for this? Let me know.
Oh, absolutely.
Okay. Great. I'll talk real estate and community transformation all day. So you hit my hot button. So I love talking about it.
We're not talking that dirty, Mark.
Exactly. Well, one of the things I think you can do in keeping it and avoiding gentrification, but keeping the culture, and there's several ways to do it. There's a lot of experts out there. This isn't reinventing the wheel here. This, we can talk about that later too. There's some great programs that have been out there, and I'm a firm believer in not reinventing the wheel. One thing I learned in the military is you don't call it stealing ideas, you call it benchmarking ideas. And there's tons out there that have been done successfully. One of the things you do is you make sure when you're redeveloping an area, you're redeveloping with mixed uses involved. So it's not one thing we need to get away from when you're transforming a community is you know, projects, you know, low-income housing. And that's only going to worsen the problem. And there's a couple of people, well, Lithgow Orlando is one of them, and they're having some success in Paramore with this. There's a book, Frank and I, you and I have spoken about toxic charities. And we got to stop building community centers and low-income housing and just give people the opportunity to own their own home and have opportunities as well. There's also a really good lady out there, Majora Carter. I would encourage your listeners or for you to take a look at her TED Talks and so forth. And she's kind of on the same page. She's done some things in the Bronx and in the New York City, New Jersey area where they're planning and they're creating, you know, incubating businesses, things that we've talked about, creating mixed-use housing. So it's not just, you know, a project housing with all low income, but there's also ways where people can afford those housing, that housing as well. So those are the things that we really need to do. The other part of that is the history. I think if you keep the history, you'll keep the local residents. You know, Frank, you and I have been in these meetings, and I have just been, you know, dumbfounded by some of the stories that I've heard. You know, some of them inspiring. You know, the history of East Winter Garden being an African American community. Some of the stories are actually heartbreaking as well. You know, you listen to Miss Wilder, as we know, she's one of the patriarchs. She's worked tirelessly for the, you know, the rights of the Black community. You've got Mr. Charles King. Do you know about Charles King, Frank?
No, Will? No.
So Charles King, and I'd like to do a little bit more about him in the future, and some of that, when we talk about the history that's going on, he was the first Black police officer in 1969. Wow. Now, I don't know if you can imagine what it would be like being the first Black police officer in Winter Garden in 1969.
Right.
It's those stories, you know, and that history that we need to preserve in that area. If we go back to that, when we were talking about toxic charities, you know, there's developers now, and as you know, one of the premises of that book is that developers are going to be the new missionaries. And we're talking about good developers. We're not talking about developers that want to come in and build low-income housing and, you know, capitalize on Section 8 housing. You know, there's a portion of that is appropriate, but you need developers that are also in there for better reasons as well. People like Randy June, you know, who's doing the Boys and Girls Club. You know, and I can tell you, I've worked very closely with him. There's not a whole lot in it from him except for him trying to do the right thing and build a new Boys and Girls Club. You know, so it's things like that we need to really call that. And I feel it's my job to set that table. It's the city's job to set that table so we can bring in these good projects.
Now, that sounds like a lot of community transformation to me. There's some new ideas being spurred here that you're talking about, and there's some stuff that wouldn't resonate too well. I mean, you're talking about going from affordable housing to mixed income housing and having a plethora of job opportunities and entrepreneurship pathways and stuff. We're talking about there's a lot of new going on, and with a lot of, that's going to require a lot of collaboration, especially with the people that live there, and they have to be on board with it. And I think we talked about this last night, is Sons of Thunder, which is a great group of guys getting together just to
be better guys,
fellowship,
and build community and camaraderie.
It's great.
And actually, it's in downtown Winter Garden at the Plant Street Market at Crooked Can.
It's good stuff.
First Tuesday every month. You should come out. It'd be good to have you there.
But we were talking about last night. Great. We were talking about reconciliation and the need for that in order for growth to happen. So how do you, what seeds you see that need to be planted to harvest trust between local residents and the government, local residents, and new developers? We're talking about everybody sitting at the table here. What kind of seeds need to be planted for that kind of trust to be
established?
To be established, so that we can have a productive conversation.
Man, that is such an important question. And I encourage you guys, you know, don't hold my feet to the fire on this stuff. I like when I get the questions, and if you don't agree with something, then please, I'm all ears, because I don't have all the answers either. So 90% of the problem lies with the question you just asked right now. And how do you do that? So what I can tell you, what we've tried to do, some things work, some things don't. I mean, the biggest thing is including the community in these decisions and moving forward. You know, and how do you do that? How do you do that in a way that builds trust, as you say? Well, if you remember, Frank, you were there for the, one of the engineers that we hired. And I won't get into all the gory details of planning and how you rebuild a community, because there's a lot of little things and buzzwords and things that we talk about when we talk about master planning and rezoning and those kind of things. And we're doing all that. We can get into that if you'd like to, but that gets a little technical. But when we did start to come up with that plan or the master plan, you know, we did have those charrettes. So we got together with all the nonprofit organizations that we could in the area, and we had these charrettes. And what charrettes are is everybody gets together and they sort of put their ideas on what they'd like to see East Twin Garden to look like. And this company we hired, Dover Coal, they're very experienced in doing this. They've done a lot of urban renewal, a lot of projects in inner cities, and they take this input. So if you recall, this was, I mean, I think a 3-month, 4-month process where we had these meetings. Everybody, you know, sat at the table, and there were some great things. And by the way, you can see a lot of these pictures and a lot of the process on planeasttwinagarden.com. If you go to the website, you'll see a lot of this that went on. Will, I don't know if you were there, but Frank, you were at some of those meetings, weren't you?
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Okay. It was a really good turnout. There was a lot of cross collaboration with different walks of life. Everybody from the community. There was almost 120 people there. Exactly. Over 80% of them were residents.
Oh, wow.
It was a really good turnout. And even the week after, when they had people come in and talk through their team about what streets and what corners would fit best where, and what sidewalks need to be increased and stuff. It was pretty cool. It was pretty cool. What some of the concern is that, well, both with the organizations, with the residents, even with some of the people who are going to be developing there, the concerns are who's going to put some rubber behind those wheels. You know, who's going to hit the ground running with this plan? Who's going to actualize it and realize it? And I think right there you'll find that at that point, who's going to enact what we've agreed on collectively is right. What we're talking about now in action. And so how does that look?
And the answer, Frank, really is, and you had asked the earlier question, was how can we, you know, the residents cultivate awareness and proactiveness? It's everybody. It's all of the above. And it's no easy task, but it's absolutely everybody. You know, the government can only do so much. And as I said, we kind of set that table. But it is up to us to initiate. And I feel that's part of my job. I mean, it falls squarely on me, I think, to make sure that I'm continually moving the city forward with their plans and promises, and also involving, you know, the residents.
Right.
You know, the city manager is fantastic. You know, yeah. Mike Ballhofer has done just a fabulous job with Winter Garden. And his I can tell you, his heart is in the right place when it comes to East Winter Garden and what we need to do there. But he's got a lot of things on his plate. He's got a whole city to run.
Right.
So it's my job as District 3 representative and make sure that it stays on the radar and continually moves forward. And it's no quick process either, as you know, guys. This is going to be a slow process. It, you know, we redeveloped downtown. That kind of a different mode. That was more of a commercial thing. But you know, it's the same process that took 15 years at least. I mean, it really didn't start until 10 years, and then we see the fruits of our labor after 20 years. So you know, if that's our job. Because you know, and one thing I explain to people sometimes is the city doesn't come in and build buildings. We don't come in and build houses. We buy land sometimes, and we make sure it goes to the proper developer to build what we want. But we need developers. We need business people. We need people like you that are going to do certain projects, and we need to help you get there. So I think it goes back to what I was saying about unifying the groups, about getting together with a singular message. So one of the next steps in this master plan is to form this liaison community. And it's actually documented in the master plan that we have to do this. So we've got to get these nonprofits together. We've got to get the stakeholders together that are in East Winter Garden, from East Winter Garden, working with the city to make sure that we see this move along at the pace and in the way we want it to move forward.
Oh, you hear that? There's a liaison committee. I'm looking forward to be a part of it.
Absolutely.
Your name's
on the list.
So you talked about bearing fruits in Winter Garden. Let's talk about East Winter Garden fruits. What are some fruits that we're enjoying now in working with that part of town? Like, what's your some of your highlights, some of your harvests?
So a lot of it is going on in the background right now. The first step truly was that master plan, right? And it, you know, it's interesting. I talked to this man. A lot of this took place before my time, and I know there's been a lot of back and forth between residents and the city. I can tell, and this is what I've been told, and I've seen some evidence of it. There has been a lot of money spent in East Winter Garden, parks, the, you know, things like that, streets, that kind of. But in the city's admission, there may have been some issues with targeting that, you know, and having it be part of a larger plan. That's why we kind of put the brakes on. And I can't take credit for this. This was in the process before I became commissioner. But we decided the best thing we can do right now, rather than keep putting money into different, you know, fragmented projects supporting different nonprofits, let's come up with a master plan. What do we want East Winter Guard to look like? Then let's go back and start putting money into certain projects. So we've got some things on the board for sidewalks in East Winter Guard. Again, we need to do those things as the city. We need to do those things that make things better for the people that are going to come in and actually make the difference and do the building and construction, those kinds of things. We've got plans for the Center Street. That's the little commercial area. We've got a lady there who wants to open up a restaurant. I've got the city, I think, convinced to help incubate that business, to bring that around. The more we have more residents, more home ownership, more businesses, the rest will follow, because they're going to be the ones also with louder voices at the city saying, we need this, we need that. And then that just breeds more and better projects for that area.
Well, does that make sense? It does. And I'm hoping that we'll be a part of the those plans as well, in terms of getting some of that land so we can farm.
Absolutely. Well, you know, a big part of this too is, and you know, again, it doesn't all happen overnight, is, you know, we approved the master plan. I think, what was it, Frank? I think it was August, we actually got approval or something like that, somewhere in there. So, you know,
April.
This is a year, 2 years, but there are little things we can do along the way. And that's what I keep emphasizing with the city managers, that we make sure we keep little projects moving forward and keep the communication open also as we move forward. But what we can do as citizens, as groups, again, we go back to the thing where you unify, you know, what is the message? What is the, you know, what are the things we really need? Let's focus our message to the city too, rather than going at them and fragmented. With fragmented ideas and different ideas from every different nonprofit. I'd like to get everybody together and all singing from the same page, the same hymn page.
That's a really good segue to our next question, our final question. You know, there are a lot of stakeholders here, and it takes a lot of collaboration and a lot of communication to get things to move forward. What advice do you have, just general advice to anybody who wants to have a seat at the table and move things forward?
Sure. You know, I hate to be, it sounds like a broken record, but I go back up to that unifying message. You know, anything we can do, or anything you can do as your organization, reaching out to other organizations to unify with a clear goal. Get stakeholders together, you know, hold stakeholders' feet to the fire, you know, as you know, being part of the community. If you go to, you know, another nonprofit and you say, look, I see what you're doing, you know, we're doing something that may be related, maybe we can do it together, and don't give up. But sometimes you may get shown the door. I know I've gotten shown the door a couple of times too with some of my ideas, but you've got to stick with it. And again, try to do it. You know, we have, you know, you may know better than I do, but I, you know, a couple of dozen churches, you know, who have their own organizations and their own toy giveaways and their own, meal plans and programs and work programs and training and those kind of things. I would like to see some of those consolidated as well, and maybe see them working with each other. Maybe not so much overlap, so we can expand the services as well. I hope that makes sense. I'm not trying to anybody. I'm just trying to make sure we all.
It does. It really does. And I'm looking forward to going out and talking to those people. Any kind words for the Grow Orlandoans out there?
Oh man, what you guys are doing is just fantastic. You know, I'm an advocate of it, and you know, I'm always going to be there advocating in the city for you. You know, to be on that land, to be able to stay on that land. We've got a firm commitment from the city manager that's going to be yours for years to come, and I'm planning on sticking to that. I, you know, I understand where the city manager comes from, and not, you know, maybe coming up with a long term lease or sale of the property, and that, I'm not saying that's even off the table, but at some point we probably need to revisit that again and just make sure that organization is there, stays strong, and just keeps moving. Oh, and by the way, one of the big parts of this too, and I go back to this a lot. You know, there's a lot the city can do, and especially in the planning and the vision side of things. But also, we've got a CRA that we've got to get approved. Also, there's a lot of this obviously takes money. So our CRA, the Community Redevelopment Agency, expired. That's grant money that you get from the city and the county. We're just getting that established. Hopefully, we'll know something first quarter next year to make sure that that is funded. Money has already been earmarked for East Winning. That's one of those behind the scene things that you don't see, but you know, we're working diligently on to make sure we get that.
That's awesome. Well, Commissioner, we appreciate your support for Grow Orlando and all the work that you're doing to make Winter Garden and Central Florida a better place to live, work, and play. And we appreciate you taking time out of your day. And we look forward to seeing you around town.
Yeah, man.
Absolutely, guys. Keep doing what you're doing as well. We really appreciate that you guys making it happen.
All right. Thank you, sir. You have a great day.
Appreciate it. You take care.
All right, gentlemen. Take care.
Bye.
Well, once again, that was Commissioner Mark Machel from the City of Winter Garden. And we do appreciate his time, talking to us today.
Cool guy.
We have plenty of upcoming guests and future podcasts, so make sure you check out our Facebook page or even our website. Just Google Grow Orlando. You'll see everything that you need to know to connect with us. And again, we appreciate your time and support. Frank, anything else?
Nah, www.groworlando.org, baby. Check us out. Let's grow the O together. Let's using plants to grow teens.
That's right. Grow to O. Thanks a lot, guys. We'll talk to you soon.